He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Would you go ahead and take a seat? So there was a father with two sons. The younger son runs away, wastes everything, and finally finds himself at rock bottom. Desperate and ashamed, he rehearses his plan to come home, not as a son, but as a servant. But when his father sees him in the distance, he doesn't wait. He embraces him. He restores him. Luke 15, 20 through 24 says, "But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran, threw his arms around his neck, and kissed him. It says, 'This son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And so they began to celebrate." You know, the prodigal thought that the best he could hope for was survival. But what he received instead was resurrection. What he received was moving from being dead to alive. Not just a second chance, but a new beginning. And today is Resurrection Sunday. And the good news is this: Jesus didn't come to offer survival. He came to give us new life. Because though we have spent weeks talking about how Jesus is greater than angels and greater than the law, greater than the priests and the sacrifices, ultimately it all leads to what we celebrate, not just this Sunday, but every Sunday and really every day we walk in the newness of life as followers of Jesus, we celebrate that Jesus is greater than death itself. And I want to talk about three key things here this morning. One is that death was never the end. See, early on that Sunday morning after Jesus was crucified, some women came to the tomb expecting to finish burial rites for Jesus. They brought spices, they brought their sorrows, they brought the weight of finality. But what they found changed everything. Luke 24, 5 and 6 tells us, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked angels who had appeared to these women. They said, "He is not here, but he has risen." See, Jesus didn't just cheat death, he defeated death. Hebrews 2, 14 through 15 says, "Now since the children have flesh and blood in common, Jesus also shared in these. He became like us, so that through his death he might destroy the one holding the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death." The resurrection wasn't just for Jesus. It was for us. He walked out of the tomb to bring us with him. And to this restores us as sons and daughters of the kingdom. See, remember the prodigal's fear, his apprehension? He didn't think he could ever be a son again. But the father saw him and embraced him and restored him. Again, back to Luke 15. "But the father told his servants, 'Quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Bring a ring, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it, and let's celebrate with the feast. This son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" The robe, the ring, the feast, that's not just forgiveness. That's restoration. Jesus promises the same thing for us in John 14, 2 and 3. Jesus says to his disciples, he says, "In my Father's house, there are many rooms. I am going away to prepare a place for you. And I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also." We don't go as guests into the house of God. We are sons and daughters coming home. Hebrews 10, 14 says, "For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified." The resurrection isn't just about someday. It's about right now. You get to live like you're already home, because you are. And so third, if death is defeated, what's holding us back? If Jesus is alive, then everything changes. That becomes the most important thing in all of human history, is that reality. If Jesus is alive, fear loses its grip. Shame loses its power. The past loses its authority. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 invites us. It says, let us lay aside every hindrance and the sin that so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. See, Jesus defeated death so that you could be free, truly, deeply, and eternally free. Free from shame, free from guilt, free from fear. So I ask you to consider, what is still holding you back? What fear or guilt or shame still whispers that you are not enough? Today, Resurrection Sunday of all days, is a great day to silence that voice, because death has already been defeated. Death has already been silenced. The grave has already lost. Amen. The tomb is empty. The king is alive, and the invitation is open. You know, like the father in the story, God is already running towards you. Whether you're coming home for the first time, or whether maybe you've come home before, but now you find yourself living more like a servant out of fear or shame, you stay away. Maybe this is one of the first times you've walked into a church in a while, and there's a little bit of, oh, do I belong here? Yeah, you do. Because shame's been defeated. Guilt has lost its power. You are a son and daughter in this place. The message is the same. Come home. Come alive. Today, we celebrate new life. We celebrate resurrection. And today, we want to invite you to step into that. If you're ready to trust Jesus, this is your moment. He is not here, the angel said, but he is risen. There you go. And because he lives, so can you. This morning, the bulk of the message is actually going to get to be through action rather than words. We are going to celebrate resurrection through baptism and through an opportunity for rededication as we continue in worship. In a moment here, I'm going to ask those who I know for sure are being baptized to go ahead and get changed, except for there's one exception to that who will get changed in a minute here. But I want to talk just a bit about baptism first here. When Jesus rose from the grave, he made a way for us to walk in the newness of life. And baptism is a beautiful picture of that reality, being buried with Christ and raised to walk in new life. Baptism, that's not what makes us new. Jesus is what makes us new. Baptism is how we declare publicly that we belong to him. So in a moment, you're going to see some people take that step, some for the first time, or all for the first time. If you're sitting here today sensing that this is your moment, maybe you've been running. Maybe you've just been waiting. I want you to know it's not too late. You can respond today. I brought extra towels. Most of all, there's lots of room in the family for you to come home. So I'm going to invite Eric, the worship team, to go ahead and come back up and lead us in one more song as those who are going to get baptized go ahead and go get themselves ready, and then we'll come back up in just a moment.